following is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, featuring the teaching of Pastor Alan Rogers. In the Metro Chattanooga area, we invite you to be our guest at any of our weekly worship services or visit us online at newsalembaptist.net. Now here's Pastor Alan.
We've got a special treat today. We've got a special guest. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, a bunch of us pastors were together and we were talking about the difficulty every one of our churches was having in reaching college students and young adults. And this was small churches to big churches. And everybody was saying, we can't find anything that's working. But you know, there's one guy we have in our community that is making it happen. And we have been very pleased to partner with Van Ferguson and his ministry. And Van is doing a tremendous work. He's got a group of college students that meet every Sunday night, and they have a big gathering. He's going to share a little bit about that in a little bit. He also is involved in some of the campuses around the area, especially at Chatt State, and seeing some tremendous things happen there. A lot of people a few years ago had just about written college students off, that we'd lost them. But Van has experienced, and I've seen evidence of this in places too, there's a spiritual hunger out there for college students that are asking questions and wanting to know more about Jesus. And we're very happy to have Van with us today. He's going to tell us more about his ministry at New Identity here in just a little while.
All right. Well, New Salem, it is good to be back with you. I'm always an honor to be here. I'm thankful for this church. It's been a blessing to me throughout the years. Thankful friendship with Alan. I have, I pastored a church for 4 years, and I've been in college ministry for 18 years. So that ought to tell you something. There's not a tougher job in this world than being a pastor of a local church. I will promise you that. And so I hope that you lift him up in prayer frequently. We have a ministry, it's called New Identity, and this church has supported me, I don't know now how many years, for several years. Y'all have been a part of our ministry, and I am thankful for it. It's called New Identity, and if you are interested, I tell everyone this, and I get a few takers here and there, but I send out a newsletter 2-3 times a month, just how you can pray for us, things that are going on. And so if you want to be on that, you're more than welcome. Just come up to me, give me your name and phone number, and I will put you on that message. I'd love to have as many people on it as I can possibly get. Our ministry started, as I said, 18 years ago. My wife and I felt led to reach an unreached people group here in the United States of America, and that is the young adults, the college-age students. And it started in our living room. And now 18 years later, we meet up the road here at the old South Soddy Baptist Church. They gave us that campus 5 years ago now, and so that's where we meet. And all we are is a aid to the local church, and I preach that constantly. I tell them we're not a church. We want you to be a part of a local body of believers in this area, but we are trying to aid the local churches with this ministry. We meet on a weekly basis. We meet tonight at 6:33. There is nothing special about that number other than probably 15 years ago, 16 years ago now, I used to tell college students, if you had about 3 more minutes, you might be on time. Just 3 more minutes. And so we started meeting at 6:33. We also have tonight, we'll break off after my lesson, and we'll have small groups that we meet in. They're not small anymore, but they're as small as we can get. And afterwards, we eat. We have individuals and churches around the area that provide food for these students every Sunday night. Throughout the week, we do Bible studies with these guys. We do discipleship training. I have a host of men right now, guys and girls, that feel called into ministry. And so we will meet with them as well. We do mission trips. As I say, I love to get these students out of Disney World and let them see the rest of how most people live throughout this world. And so this summer, we're actually going to Zambia. Got about too many, to be honest. Got about 15 or 16 going with us to Zambia. And then we've already got, I was actually called and asked for next summer if I would bring a group to Portugal. So we try our best to take these students all over the world and let them see how other people live. And it's crazy how these guys and girls oftentimes feel led into missions and into ministry as a result of seeing this. We're also at Chattanooga State. And my wife and I, we are the directors for FCA at Chattanooga State. And it is, I probably enjoy that more than anything I've ever done in my life. I absolutely will be there tomorrow night. We meet at 6:30 there as well on Monday evenings. We have, again, people that provide food. It's crazy that the Jay Fowler, who's over FCA, and he asked me to do this at Chattanooga State. He called me and said, listen, we'll provide the food for you on Monday nights if you'll do this. And I'm like, sure, I love sports, love college students. This ought to be perfect. Well, when we got there, they normally ran around, they had averaged throughout the years around 12 to 15 kids on these nights. Well, we're now having about 60. And so Jay called me at the beginning of this semester and he said, we're going to have to do something. This is costing us a whole lot of money. And so, but God's blessed, and God's even brought people in as volunteers that's just volunteered to start bringing food on Monday nights for these students. And we do small groups, and we meet with these kids throughout the week as well. And so it's just amazing to see what God is doing. And that's what Al and I were talking about. There's truly a move of God in young people. I was at UTC a couple of weeks ago for a crew meeting there. I spoke, and there was probably 350 college kids. I'll be at North Carolina State in a few months, and their director said they run about 1,000 college students up there in their ministry. And so God is truly, truly moving among these young people. I'm also going to say this, and I don't want to jinx myself. If I was superstitious, I'd knock on wood. But the past year and a half has been the best year of my life. And a year and a half ago, I was ready to get out of this ministry and move on. And it wasn't because we weren't seeing things happen. It was just, it was my wife and I, and that was it. And we were having 50, 60 total with both 100 kids that we're dealing with. And it's just the two of us. But in the past year and a half, God has brought so many people into our lives to help. And most of them are from 15, 16, 17 years ago. They were in our ministry. And now they want to help and they've come back. And it has completely, completely changed everything. Everything. And so I am so grateful. We prayed for this for years. As I said, we've had several. I can't even begin to tell you how many kids we've seen come to Christ in the past year. Kids that have been called into ministry, missions, and different things. And many of them now have changed their whole outlook. Now they're going to go off to seminary. It just keeps happening. Week after week, I've got students right now. We saw a lady come to Christ this past week, a Mormon at Chattanooga State. And so I've got another young man who plays basketball who's from Africa. Been talking to him, and man, he's starting to listen. And he's into voodoo, okay? Worships the devil. And so I've been getting to sit down and talk to this guy, and he's asking some crazy questions. And so it's been amazing to see. I have some pictures. I wanted to show you this one picture. We can pull it up. This young man, but particularly the girl, can you go to the other picture? We did this in one night. This young lady right here, she was a atheist. About a year ago, she started coming to our ministry, and my wife started talking to her, meeting with her. That's probably been a month ago now. I'm meeting with some young men one night, and all of these guys feel called into ministry, and in a room over from us are these girls that are meeting, and all of a sudden they just come bursting through the door and said, Haven got saved. 10 months, my wife had been talking to this young lady, atheist. I would say she, some point along the way, moved to agnostic, and then finally she took the plunge, and she said, I want to be baptized. And I told her, well, honey, we'd actually bought a horse trough now for this. And so I told her, well, we'll put you down and we'll try. She goes, no, right now. 27 degrees. We filled that thing up, and she got baptized that night. Still brings me to tears. It's unbelievable what God's been doing. I can't even explain it, and wouldn't try. It has been truly a blessing, and again, we cannot do it without people like you. It is impossible without churches, without individuals that support our ministry. And the last 2 years has been tough. 3 years, as all of you know, inflation's a killer. And so it's hurt everyone. So it's been really been tough, but God provides. He just continues to provide. And so I thank you so much for your support. Could not do it without you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn Hebrews chapter 11. I just left my Bible over there because I can't see it. I can see my phone. I can't see my Bible, it's pointless without my glasses. And I'd prefer not to use my glasses if I can help it. Hebrews chapter 11. On Sunday nights, I'll give you a little taste of what we do on Sunday evenings. And so we're walking through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 right now. The heroes of the faith. All right, heroes of the faith. We've been doing this since January, the beginning of January. And so in this passage this evening, we're going to just read two verses because I'm going to cover a lot of scripture, particularly in Genesis. But for us tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 and 21, we're going to see how this faith is passed down from generation to generation, right? That's going to be the main point this evening, and this would make a wonderful, wonderful movie. But you're also going to get to see how this has an impact on the gospel. We're going to talk about Isaac. We're going to talk about Jacob. We're going to talk about Joseph, and how that actually points to Jesus. The theme of this book, this chapter, chapter 11, is, I believe, verse 6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. There's three main points that I've brought up every week. All of these Old Testament saints, they all have these three characteristics. They believe that God is real. They believe that God keeps his promises. And they believe that following and chasing after him is worth it. All of them. Okay? And you see that as you kind of walk throughout these men and women. Verse 20 and 21. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Interesting. The main focus tonight will be Jacob, for sure, but we're going to talk about Isaac. We're going to mention Joseph as well. Here in verse 21, the author of Hebrews, he could have chosen a host of different examples of faith in the life of Jacob. Okay? Host. But he chooses this one. All right? Jacob blessing his son Joseph, right? His kids, his grandkids. This is what he chooses. And these are probably verses most of us in this room, you very rarely ever even thought about, to be honest. Jacob blessing Joseph's sons. Well, it's a big deal. And if you want to read this on your own, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 48. It says, at the end of Jacob's life, Joseph, probably my favorite Bible character, Joseph comes to his father and asks him to bless his sons. A blessing in that day and time was a big deal, like a living will today in a sense, okay? Big deal. And so the father would bring these two boys. Matter of fact, if I could get, I got two volunteers here, if I could get them to just make their way on up here. They're out here. Come on up. It's all right. We're safe. We're going to have you twice. You stand right down here. We're going to do this twice. So in a blessing like this, I want you to see this. I'm going to do it at the beginning. I'm going to do it at the end. Y'all come over here a little bit closer. So you would have the oldest, okay? This is the way that it worked. The oldest would be on the right hand. God, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. In the Old Testament, the right hand was everything. No offense, but if you were left-handed in that day and time, you're trash, all right? Right hand meant it all. I mean, it was everything right here. And so they would be in this position, okay? And so these two boys would be standing here in this sense, and so he would put a blessing. Right? Again, it's like a will, like a living will. And he would always be the oldest son. That was the idea. He would get the estate. He got to decide who gets what, in a sense, after the father died. Not that the father might not do some kind of special deal here. Well, you get this or that. But ultimately, the blessing falls here. Right? If you're familiar with this passage, something strange happens at this point. Jacob looks at his two grandsons and he does this, a little bit closer. He does this, he goes to him and he goes, and he crosses his arms. Crosses his arms, he gives the blessing to the younger son. I'm going to need you again in a moment. You can sit down. He blesses, he crosses, and I want you to see that. It's really, really important here in just a few minutes. Immediately, Joseph is like, hold on, Dad, wait a minute. You messed it up. I mean, he was old. You know, he's thinking maybe he's got the two boys confused and he thinks the oldest is on the left side. He's like, hold on, Dad, don't do that. Jacob says, no, son, this is God's plan. This is the way God does it. Right here. So you might be thinking, all right, how in the world does that get Jacob into the Hall of Fame? Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, what is that? Well, you got to go back a little bit further. You got to keep going. You got to dig into the life of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 27, we also know that Jacob, he had a brother. His brother was Esau. Matter of fact, they were twins, if you're familiar with that story. And I'm sure most of you are, because that's a really familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. They're twins. They are polar opposites. Jacob is more of a city slicker. And Esau, he's rough, country, hunter, redneck like myself. We're told in the Bible that he was a very hairy man. He was rough. Esau was the oldest. He is the one that just by a few seconds, but at the same time, he is the one that's supposed to receive the blessing. And believe me, Esau, I can't emphasize this, he is every father's dream in that day and time. He is what every father looked for, what every father wanted. He is a man's man. He is a leader. And he is Isaac's favorite. All right? Isaac's favorite. Esau. Oh, you have a problem, though. Her name's Rebekah, the mother. All right? The mother of these two, Jacob and Esau. When she was pregnant, the Bible tells us that there were some complications going on with her pregnancy. And so she, like anybody would do, she goes to the prophet, to the the priest. In that day and time, they went to the prophet, the priest, for everything. And so, in other words, if you or your children or your grandchildren are having problems with pregnancy, young ladies having problems, difficulty with pregnancy, call Alan. He's the man. He can help you out with that. That's what they did in that day and time. And that's what happens here. Well, when she came to this prophet told her, she says, there's like this tension. There's something going on inside of me. He said, yeah, there's two warring nations inside of you. Oh, and by the way, the older will serve the younger. God's word, God's promise, right there. Older will serve the younger. Jacob, he turns out to be more of a sissy, in a sense. And Esau, the firstborn, he's the man's man. But we're also told in the scriptures when they were born, Jacob is holding on to the heel of Esau, as if to say, I'm first. It's kind of neat how they got their names. They didn't use a lot of imagination back then. Esau means red skin and hairy. Jacob means heel grabber. But it also alluded to being sneaky. Jacob was the kind of guy that the kind of friend we've all had in our lives that would throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. Yet the prophet said, that's the chosen one. Makes absolute no sense whatsoever. That's the chosen one. When you dive into this in Genesis chapter 27 more, as the boys get older, Isaac calls Esau in, says, I want you to go out and kill an animal, make some stew, we're going to throw a party, and I'm going to bless you. And so Esau hurried out, grabbed his bow, and went out into the fields to hunt. Oh, but Rebecca the mother, she overhears this conversation. She's got different plans. She told her son Jacob to go and kill two lambs and bring them to her. And she was going to cook this meat, his favorite meal, the father's favorite meal. And I want you to take it to him and he's going to bless you. Jacob's pretty smart. Now his dad's blind at this point. But he says, my dad's a lot smarter than that. Two things are going to give me away. One, if he touches my hand, I mean, I don't have the hands of a working man. He touches my hands, but also they're hairy. And he said, Mom, what about the scent, the smell? You know, Jacob would have smelled like Abercrombie, Polo. He's like, you know, my brother smells like the outdoors. He may have smelled like animal guts. It's not going to work, Mom. There's no way it's going to work. And as a matter of fact, he's going to end up cursing me. And Mom said, I've got all this planned out. You go put on some of his clothing, and then you take the fur from those animals and you put them on your hands and put it around your neck, and you go into him. And he would. He did as he was told. He takes this food in. He says, here I am. Bless me, Father. And his dad's like, how in the world are you back so quickly, Esau? And man, he's religious. He knows some verses. He knows how to talk the talk. And he's like, well, God put that animal in my path. It was meant to be, Dad. Just meant to be. He said, well, come a little closer. Dad reaches out and feels his hands. He gives this irrevocable blessing to Jacob. Around verse 30, right after that, he leaves. His brother Esau came into the room, comes back, says, I'm back. I'm ready for my blessing. And who are you? I'm Esau, and at this moment, Isaac knows that he's been tricked. He says, I've given your blessing away. And we are told there that Esau began to weep, but he also vowed to kill his brother. And you know, just a side note here in this, but it applies in so many different ways. You reap what you sow. Good and bad, you reap what you sow. And here in this moment, Jacob would never see his mother again. He ran for his life. His family's destroyed because of a poor choice and a poor decision. Now, I want you to understand something, because I don't understand all the sovereignty of God, would never act like I do. A host of different things could have happened here, but this is how it was supposed to be. But at the same time, Jacob didn't have to lie, nor did his mother. I mean, God was in control. God had made the promise. God had spoken, the older will serve the younger. And what you have here is really a picture of lack of faith. Trying to do it on your own was... You may be thinking, how in the world did this guy make the heroes of the faith? He really is showing lack of faith. That is exactly the point. That's the point of this story. He lacked faith. Jacob there on his deathbed, when he blesses Joseph's two boys, when he blesses them and he crosses his arms in that moment, and Joseph's like, hold on, Dad, no, you've got this all confused. Jacob is saying, I know what I'm doing. I want you to listen. I know what I'm doing. I've experienced God's grace. I've received what I do not deserve. And I can see that now as I look back on my life. God wants to bless the younger. Joseph, don't look at this from a worldly perspective. Don't get caught up in rituals and traditions. Don't think you can earn this. This is God's grace. Jacob had spent a good portion of his life from back then trying to earn this blessing and this favor with God. Even one night he wrestled with God, walked with a limp for the rest of his life. He spent his life thinking, gosh, God bless me. I've got to earn this. And now at this point in his life, he realized, I've been called by God. Before birth, when I was in my mother's womb, God had chosen me. I tell you, a verse that will make you think, at least. Go read Romans 9 when Paul describes this whole picture right here. He's saying faith. Man, I've got faith, but not in anything that I've done. Not in my works. Not in my brain. Not in my knowledge. He's calling out. He's saying, God saved me. He chose me. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. I want those two young men to come back up here real quick, because I want you to see how this impacts the gospel. How this made an influence down the road. All right, so now you got them. However you want. Two grandsons, older, younger. You got Esau, Jacob. But I want you to take it a step further. I hope every person in this room sees this. You got Jesus. You got the Son of God. Perfect. Flawless. Sinless. You got you and I. You got man. A scoundrel. Deserving of hell. A sinner. Lost. When Jesus went to that cross, he did this. Do you see that? He gave Jesus what he didn't deserve. And he gave you what you don't deserve. Amen. That's what happened. That's what was happening even back then. Thank you, guys. That's what was happening even then. Pointing to the cross. I hope you can see that. I hope every person in this room, you can see that picture. When he crossed his arms, he was giving you and I what we do not deserve. The Bible says the one who knew no sin became sin for us. We received his righteousness. He received our sin. And those who put their faith and trust in that and what he did will have eternal life based off of what Christ has done in our place. By faith, Jacob sought the blessing through grace, not works, not anything that he can do. He sees it now. It is by faith and by faith alone. I want to show you one thing that I learned from this time around. I've done this so many times in my life, but this time around, God really spoke to me in regards to one thing, this blessing of God. This blessing of God is what every person in this room longs for, deep down inside. This is what everybody's searching for, is this blessing from the Father. We want to know that we're valuable. We want to know that we are important. We want to know that we are significant. And there is this security in knowing that one way or the other, everything's going to be all right. And you can only find that in the Father. But this all begins, and so, you get to hear this, but this is what I do with the college students. The first place we really seek blessings from the Father, if you will, is with our parents in the home, with a mom and a dad. That's where we seek after these first blessings in life. Our parents are the biggest influence in our lives, good and bad, good and bad. But particularly, and I've seen this in the last 2 years more than any other time in my life, but particularly when the Father is missing, it's devastating. There is a wound and there's a hole there. There's you have kids who are longing and crying out for the blessing of the Father. And I see it all the time, particularly in FCA at Chattanooga State. I watch it week after week. Some of these young men and women have never had a dad in their life whatsoever, and they are angry about never hearing well done, about never having that father in their life. Over 80% of people in the world who can profess to be atheists don't have a father. Over 80%. In our school system in America, they did a study. 98% of the problem children and kids in our schools are males that didn't have a father figure. 98%. And what they're doing is they're screaming, "Bless me, show me some attention. Give me some attention." And what happens when they don't get that? This is what I got this time from this. For myself, when they don't get this kind of attention, they're Jacob, and they're dressing up like somebody, trying to pretend to be somebody they're not. Transgender movement and all these things we have going on today, it's a cry for help. Show me some attention. Bless me is the idea. It's a very exhausting life. And it leads to heartache and to pain. But what Jacob is saying here, he came to God. And Jacob learned a very valuable lesson in his life. My favor and my worth is found in God. My identity is found in God. It's not me. It's not what I can earn or what I can do. My identity is found in God. And I pour this in. That girl that I showed you a moment ago, she comes from a horrible, horrible background. But your worth is in God. God gives you your worth. Not anything that you can do, but it comes from God. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you." It's all about grace. It's about receiving that grace that God offers. It's the picture of Him crossing His arms, giving us what we do not deserve. And so my prayer this morning as I close, my prayer is that every single one of us in this room, we fall into the category of Jacob. We first and foremost understand we don't deserve grace. We don't measure up. But we're loved. And we say that based off of what God says. I chose you. You're a child of God. You're special. You're favored. You're valuable. And I illustrate, I showed you that on the cross. So I pray, do we have the faith of Jacob? Do we have the faith of Jacob? Let's pray. You may stand to your feet. Alan, I'll turn it over to you. God, I thank you once again. I thank you for this church. Thank you for what it stands for. Thank you for the beacon of hope and light it has been in this community my entire life. I pray your blessings on it. I pray that you'll continue to just use this church in a mighty way. And I pray, God, that we take this to heart this evening, the grace of God. I pray, Father, if there's no one here that's never cried out to you, they've never confessed their sins, they've never called to you, God, I pray today will be the day that they come to you, they seek forgiveness. But God, I also pray for those of us here that maybe sometimes lose sight in this world. So hard to stay focused on what matters when we're so comfortable. So God, I just pray that you will work in each one of our lives and we seek to honor and glorify you in everything that we do. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This program is a production of the Media Ministry at New Salem Baptist Church. Music courtesy of Jason Shaw at audionautix.com. If you enjoy this program, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@newsalembaptist.net. Thank you for listening.